today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey, everybody. Code Pen Radio number 180. Oh, fantastic. I guess it was six episodes ago when we first talked with our newest employee, Claire. Claire's back on the show right now. Hey, Claire.
Hi.
Hey. So we've had, you know, a month and a half to dig into some design stuff, and that's what Marie thought. Marie's here, too. Hey, Marie.
Hey, everybody.
It would be kind of cool to dig into some early choices we've made and some, I don't know, tooling stuff and things that are already out on production and some stuff like that. So let's do that. I don't know, one thing that happened, I don't know, I guess a few weeks ago now, is that we sort of landed on using this software called Fractal for a design pattern library. And that's been pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's been pretty cool so far. I think using Fractal is going to give us a lot of opportunity to build on our existing designs.
Yeah, it's fractal.build is the URL for it. It's a product from Clear Left, I subscribe to their newsletter because it's a pretty good weekly one. I think a lot of times Jeremy Keith writes it, and Jeremy's a friend of mine, a dude I really like. And Clear Left has put out so many cool projects over the years, and this is certainly one of them, a feather in their cap as a design agency for sure. And I don't know, I'm always a little scared of stuff like this at first, because I don't know, any new technology is a little scary to some degree to me. You're like, I don't know how this works. How much time is this? Is this a dangerous road to go down? Because it, I don't know, what if we spend a bunch of time in it and then it's not helpful, or we give up on it, or
suddenly it breaks and we can't use it anymore?
Or something like that.
Doomsday.
Should that ever
happen? So what is Fractal for? What are you using it for?
So we're using it for documenting our design system and all the components that make up the design of CodePen.
Which I think people can imagine these days they're so common. I mean, I don't know, maybe not common like every business in the world has one, but you don't have to search very hard to find an example of one. And what it means is like, these are our headers, these are our buttons, these are our tabs, these are our dropdowns. These are just things that so many different websites, including CodePen, has on them. And if you bother to do that there's, I don't know, design advantages to that. Like, what do you get out of it? I guess you get consistency and you get like less mess.
Yeah, you kind of get this shared language through designers and developers too.
Sure, like even if done well enough, even if like Tim, for example, needed to use some tabs, that he can just use them, that they're easy enough to find and the markup is easy enough to copy. And you just use the class names that we tell you to use in the HTML and just should work. So there's some speed.
Represents the pattern, and then it also has the code alongside it, so you can just grab and go from there?
Well, I guess it does a pretty good job if you just go to the fractal.build website of what it looks like. It's in a, yeah, so if I can describe it for the radio, it was always everybody's favorite thing. Imagine like three, a sidebar along the left, which is you can organize it however you want. It's all of your components, I guess, and documentation for your design library. So you could say, these are our, you know, these are our design patterns and these are our layouts. So a pattern might be tabs. And then a layout might be a whole page in which there's multiple tabs on it. So you can see the things go together. So it's unopinionated in that way. You can organize it however you like. And then on the top, the biggest, most prominent thing on the page is a like visual display of that pattern. And then below that are some tabs of their own. The default one of which shows you the HTML that you use to make that pattern. And I think that's very, very significant, is that that's one of the reasons I was originally scared of using Fractal, because I'm like, oh, I don't want this thing to tell me how we should write our CSS. Our CSS is already somewhat complicated and it's organized how it's organized, and it's already there. I'm not to say that it could never be rewritten, because certainly it could, But that's a major, major project, and I'm not sure I want a design pattern documentation system to tell me how to write production CSS and how to organize it. That's what this doesn't do. This doesn't care at all about your CSS in a way, which is weird because in a way, what you're doing is documenting your CSS, but you're not really. In Fractal, you're kind of more like just giving it, you're just giving it chunks of HTML and say like, organize, you know, it's almost documenting your HTML and not your CSS. So in the preview thing, the thing where it renders and displays the little component that you're trying to do, that's just a little chunk of HTML, and it sits within an iframe of which your production CSS is just loaded into.
Oh, nice.
So it's like you give it button with class of button, and it'll render in an iframe where our production CSS is. And of course, it looks like a button because the right CSS is being applied, which I think is a really cool way to do this. So it just really doesn't care about your CSS and JavaScript. No way. It's just documenting your HTML and rendering it in a little iframe. And that's familiar to us on CodePen. That's what CodePen is a, you know, a little iframe that renders stuff for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so we made some progress. I think we were productive pretty quickly in it. That was telling, is that, you know, I think we, when we were looking at this, I was on a call with Claire and you like had it up and running like as we were talking.
Yeah, it was kind of cool to just do that and then start adding things to it immediately. There's still parts of it that I'm not sure that I understand, but it's really easy to add components to it at least.
Yeah, it's like npm install fractal, fractal start. Cool. It's working now, you know. And then there's just this folder and you drop by default it is handlebars, you know, so like the curly brackety version of HTML, which we don't really use in our app. And so I was like, is there some way to make it like ERB based or something? And it's like, yeah, this, I don't think we need to bother with that. Like, it's okay that this is a little different HTML than we use throughout the site. The handlebar stuff is really just for like variations and being able to feed data into these patterns in a way that you might want to. So for example, if you have a button, you might say in the button, you might say curly bracket, button text. That way you can reuse that button in other areas of the component library and pass it in some data. So the what's in that button can change. It doesn't just have to be static and just say button. It can, I don't know. So what I found useful in Fractal is to make like to make like button and then make buttons. So button is just a button with everything on it is reusable. Like the class names on it is data and the value inside the button is data. And so any pattern is just an individual component, which every little piece of it is data. And then buttons reuses that button component over and over and over and has, so you might, I think you can imagine opening a pattern library and be like, show me all of the buttons that you have available. That might be something that I want. That's something I want. I reference that in our own primitive design system right now. It's like, oh yeah, how do I make like a blue button again? Or how do I make a button where when you roll over it, it's red? Like that's a question I might have. So that's something I ask of my component library. Give me that. That's what I want. And so this buttons, if you click that in the sidebar, it'll show you 25 buttons of the different ones you can make. But there's that generic component that it's all built upon. So then later you're like, you know what? We need to work on our modals. That's something we need to work on design-wise on CodePen. We don't need to make a modal component that's all by itself. We can piece it together from other components. We can say, here's a div of class modal, but inside of it, we need three buttons. We need OK, cancel, and super cancel, or I don't know, two buttons probably.
Yeah.
But we're not like making a new modal component. The modal component is just piecing together other. Use the header component, use the tabs component. So they all feed on each other, and you build up design patterns slowly inside of Fractal. At least that's what it kind of encourages you to do.
This episode is sponsored by HelloSign. HelloSign helps companies grow revenue faster by automating document workflows with a developer-friendly e-signature API. It makes it simple to embed secure and legally binding e-signatures directly into any website. The API is always free during development with the option to self-sign up when purchasing a paid plan. Integrations go smoothly with help from tools like the API dashboard. Developers can send a first API call in minutes, and app certification is free. HelloSign knows that no API can write your code for you, but theirs comes close. It has in-depth documentation, customizable features, and a dashboard that makes your code easy to debug. You won't find an e-signature product with an easier path to implementation. It's 2 times faster than other e-signature APIs. New users and business plans can take 33% off at hellosign.com/codepen-api. So for comparison's sake, prior to this, we didn't really have like a library or system for these types of patterns, right? I mean, I know we had a page that was publicly available that showed some of our design patterns, but you didn't really have anything to refer back to that was this organized, right?
Yeah. That's half baked, and it's always been half baked. You just go to slash guide on CodePen, and this might even just be deleted one day. I imagine it will be. It already kind of is a little outdated, but it's just like, I don't know. Let's just think of our patterns, and then I'll drop some HTML on that page that exemplifies that pattern. So it's not like I never used it. It is a little bit useful for seeing what types of things are available for us to use. You know, here's all the buttons, here's all the different types of buttons and the badges and the form styles and all that stuff. But it's not very clever. It doesn't like show you the HTML that created them. I don't know. It's just a page that just barfs a bunch of patterns onto one page. So it's kind of just a
visual representation of it more than code that you can actually play with and use. It's a big difference there.
Yeah. This fractal thing will be much more interesting. So I think maybe what Claire was alluded to there is that we learned shortly after using it that they had kind of officially announced that they're going to not work on it anymore.
On fractal?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, is it one of those things where it's just like, it's done, it works, and it's finished?
Well, that was my first thought. I was like, well, we haven't run into any bugs yet, so who cares, you know? Like, does it matter?
Yeah. I didn't think it mattered that much. It's providing a lot of benefit for us. And if we reach that point where it stops working, then we'll probably be moving on to something else anyway.
Right. I would think so. That's a good way to put it. Like, maybe if this really is kind of abandoned, and it's so good. Can't you imagine somebody forking it and doing their own thing? Or I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of people using it.
Hopefully somebody picks it up and runs with it or something. I do kind of get it, though, because I'm like, this is like really nice software. Or maybe it's just my, I don't know, entrepreneurial nature or something. They're like, there's no way I would spend this much time on something and not sell it. I'd be like, oh, this is, I don't know. I'm working on it. Like, it's sellable software.
The founder's mindset.
Yeah.
So the fruits of all of this have been a couple of UI changes around CodePen that are already out. For one, we have the new create menu changes. We added create from template for pens to the menu there, which is brand new, and people are really liking it, Claire. Like, that turned out awesome.
Yeah, I mean, with that, it's just drawing a little bit more attention to it so that you know that pens and templates aren't really that different and you can just go create one and use them really easily.
Yeah, I've already heard from people who just are super psyched about having that option right up in the create menu, and people are already making it part of their workflow. So I think that's great.
That's great to hear.
And another change, a very subtle one, but one that I think is really, really nice, is the change to the cards, like the card layout type thing that we have in the grid view, like that shows the user's avatar and details about a pen. Could you tell us a little bit about redesigning that? Because it looks fantastic.
Yeah, so before, the avatar was much smaller, things were much more compact, and I think we really wanted to draw attention more to who was creating this and make the avatars actually make them visible so that people could actually view what was in them rather than them just being tiny things that you couldn't see. So I just expanded that out, made sure there was a little bit more white space around everything. So when you're viewing all these cards, they have some sort of differentiation between them.
It's really eye-catching. I couldn't put my finger on exactly what was different when I first saw it, but then after checking it out for a moment, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, it's a much bigger avatar. It just looks fantastic. I really love how it looks. And I like how you were able to bring in a new design that didn't really disrupt anything. You didn't, move anybody's cheese with this change.
Yeah.
It's all pretty much as it was before, but it's just an improvement in the appearance. I like a sneaky little change like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing right now, is making all these sneaky little changes that improve the appearance of things. But if you came to here and you weren't on CodePen for a year and you came back, you would have never known. It's just gonna be better.
Yeah.
Big fan of that. I think of it as polish, or at least, that's just such, it's so great. And that's something that has definitely slipped away from us over time. And it's so great to have somebody who's cares deeply about those things and can fix it all up. So we're back to a state of polish, or to more accurately, to a level of polish that we never quite had, perhaps.
Yeah, it's great having someone who owns that experience, who owns the UI design, to owns user experience, because you can dedicate your time to that. Being such a small team in the past, it's always been, I think everybody on the development team has kind of tried their very best with this, but it's great to have someone who can put some order to it and control it.
Yeah, I think one of the tricky things, though, is going through, if you decide that I'm going to go change the card styles, and you're going to go through and check all the pages to make sure that the card styles are right, I'll run across other things that I want to change, too, and I just have to add them to a list and prioritize them instead of switching focus, going to change those things when I was already changing something else.
Mm. Well, that's mature thinking, because, man, does that can... that can get me in trouble.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Yeah. Oh, what was it that I got in trouble with the other day?
Do you want me to say? Because I know.
Well, I know.
It was the form thing. We had a form. We had form mayhem going on.
Yeah, that's where, right. Okay, I remember exactly what I was going on. It's related to this conversation only tangentially, in that it's related to a feature that people don't even have yet. So sorry about that, feature people. Part of the flow of creating that new feature was being like, well, let's get it out in a feature flag kind of way, so that we can do user testing on it by inviting people to this feature, which that is ready to go. So sorry out there, people, if you haven't been invited to this feature yet, maybe you will be or can be somehow. But it does mean that changes went out to production code, right? So all of a sudden there's this, I was like, well, the pin doesn't really work on this particular style of header we have, but I've never liked that particular style of header. So I'm going to get rid of that header and put this old style header in. So I made this change that's not related to the, didn't just work on the one thing. I saw something else that I wanted to change and changed that thing. The problem is when you change that header, it triggered a freaking snowball of other bugs related on it that it would have been really hard to know that it was going to trigger, and it caused some bad problems, and it makes me a bad developer. Sorry. Hi.
Honestly, I would put that one down to like freak accidents, because there's no way you would know those two things were related. It was super weird. I think we all have to give you a pass on that one.
I know it was that's abstract, but imagine changing a little HTML element in a header and having it break sign up and pro sign up for every single person on the site.
Yeah, it basically like demolished forms for many hours.
Cool, right? Cool. Good job.
It was not cool, but we all move on.
No, it really wasn't cool. So this week, I know this is unrelated to the design conversation we're talking about, is be like, okay, so this was unacceptable for a bunch of reasons. It starts at the top. It was unacceptable of me to have made this change that was out of scope for what I was working on anyway, and have it break something and not even notice. But one level down, it was unacceptable the way that certain selectors were written that were so fragile that a tiny little change like that would break it. That's a bummer. And below that, it's a little unacceptable that it's even possible with our fairly advanced deployment workflows that we can deploy code that breaks something like that and nothing detects it in any way. So we fixed all of those things. So not only did we fix the header issue, but we fixed all the selectors so that code is much less brittle than it used to be. And I just finished working on this week some new integration tests that make, because honestly, at a site that's as old and as mature as CodePen is, to not have integration tests that test if your signup flow works is kind of unacceptable. And now we do have them. So good. Cool.
Lesson learned.
It's good to know if I end up breaking anything, it will go through these tests and somebody will catch it before it's out there.
Well, there's currently one test and it tests the pro signup thing. But the situation's in place now. So if we wanted to, for example, because you can test anything. You can test, can I add React to a pen and then, I don't know, have it render properly or something. There are tests you can write. And the world of that testing has gotten so advanced. It's amazing. You can write code that, like, just is amazing. You're like, go to this URL. And then that's just implied, like, that's a test already. Just that one line of code is like, well, did it work? Did it not error? Did it not 500 or 400 or something? And then the next thread of code is you're like, well, then find this form element. That's a test. It's like, did you find the form element? Because if it doesn't, the test fails. Find the form element. Oh, you did that? Now type something into that form element. Okay, now check the value of that form element. Is it what you typed? Okay, that. So now you've written four tests already in four lines of code. It's like amazing. And then you're like, okay, you've filled out all the stuff. Click the button. Is the URL now this? That's a test. If it's not, it's failed because that's, you know. So like every line of code is like not only doing something in a browser, and you can literally like sit there and watch the browser do these things because it's that's what headless Chrome is. But or it's not only headless Chrome, it's just controllable Chrome. So as you're writing the test, you can watch it controlling Chrome and doing these steps. And you can run it headlessly, meaning it doesn't have to spin up a visual browser. It can perform all these steps invisibly, which is why that's the part that the testing stuff runs. Anyway, I took that in a weird direction, but testing is really cool these days. And anyway, we're using this headless Chrome stuff for lots of stuff, because we'll have to have a future podcast on screenshots because we're using it for that as well now.
Oh, it's the same thing that we're going to do the screenshots with?
Yeah, kind of, because imagine, like, you can just programmatically spin up a version of Chrome and then do anything that Chrome can do. So it can render a page, it can click an input, it can save itself as a PDF, it can save itself as a PNG or JPEG, it can, you know, so it's very related.
That's cool. Yeah, we have actually, not this week, but next week, I think, we'll be having someone on to talk about headless Chrome with us, so stay tuned, everyone.
it's a brave new world. Yeah, so the cards look great. I am a huge fan of them as well. They look really clean. How difficult? Like, I remember talking in the early days of this feature. I was like, well, remember that, you know, these cards, there's a good, I don't know, 7-8 states they can be in. Not only like ones for pens, ones for projects, ones for cards, but also like sometimes you own it and sometimes you don't. And sometimes there's a title and sometimes there isn't. And stuff like that.
So I had to think about when designing this as well, all of those different states together and designing something that could be flexible around that. Not to say that there weren't a couple bugs, because there were.
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, those barely register.
Yeah. But they still fit into the design that I did.
Yeah. And was it, because it's already, I don't know, I would think it's already a little bit of a pattern. So did you have to touch HTML in the cards, or was it just CSS only?
I had to reorganize a few things in the HTML because there were a few divs that things were in and it didn't really work with how they were laid out, but I didn't really have to write anything new.
Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of good. And but that means that it wasn't just CSS and that you've defined all the card component tree in Rails land and then also in React land.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Cause then they're remembering that the way that these cards are written are probably in two different places.
Yeah, that's one of the weird worlds we live in at the moment, is that some pages are in Rails and some are in React. And hopefully someday it will just all be React. And so that early on, I was like, before we picked Fractal, I was like, maybe we should just pick a React-based pattern library tool. But I remember finding those kind of less appealing, right?
Yeah, I think it makes much more sense to have something simpler that doesn't really have to rely on anything. Because what if in the future we decide we don't want to do React anymore?
Oh, don't say that.
I doubt that's going to happen.
Hang on. But... I heard React is good. So. that's been the word on the street.
I think Alex brought it up as well, though. Like, is that so? It's handlebars or whatever? Like, could it, how is this, if we, once we're 100% React, is this pattern library thing like kind of outdated? And I was like, I don't know. I don't think so. Just because of our components are in JSX doesn't mean you can't, like, you know, think of, write it out how it is going to render in HTML in a pattern library. That still seems fine. And apparently Fractal can take any type of rendering environment. So I don't know if it's tongue in cheek or what, but their docs say you can substitute handlebars for whatever, including JSX. So I was like, oh, well, maybe we'll try that. I know y'all don't work on it anymore. So if we have any trouble, that seems too bad, but theoretically possible to document your JSX components. And if anybody else has done that, that would be a cool thing to write in and tell us about, because I'd like to know if Fractal can handle that smoothly. I'll tell you, you know, that you know, the elusive new feature thing that related to the header, that required, you know, I was like, I should probably like at least attempt to design this in a way that is part of our design tools and workflow that we have gone with. So I did it in Figma first, which we didn't talk about in this show, but it's like, you know, it's like team-based, web-based design software. And I like, you know, put the little thing in there and designed it how I maybe thought it should look in Figma. And I was like, yeah, that should work. And then moved it to Fractal and then used it in the app. So I was like, and that whole thing, it didn't feel like I'm forcing myself to do it this way because these are the tools we chose, damn it. I was like, no, this is right. You stay in Figma because it's a little more free and you drag crap around and it feels a little more just easy to think about how you want something. And then Fractal was like, no, I need to make this a true pattern, a true class name that I can use and have it fit in with all the rest of our stuff. So I'm not just slaughtering in some silly mess, you know, let's make it part of the system and the patterns it applies to, and then used it. And it felt pretty good. So I'd give us a pat on the back for our design choices so far.
Well, they've been looking good. I like the work that you both have been doing, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes next, because the style is good. The choices that you are making are fantastic, so I'm super excited.
I'm excited too. What's next? I don't even know.
Bigger, better thing.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we have new features coming down the pike, and we're starting to define how they're going to look.
Yeah.
And we got big, beautiful things in the future of CodePen, everyone.
Sometimes it was like what just recently we dropped. I was like, two new fonts. We have, yes, Gintronic and Dink Mono. And I was like, because that's like fun. I like doing
Dink
stuff like that.
Dink Mono.
that's what it's called, dude. Dink Mono. It's like the dankest of all the monos.
So they say.
But I sometimes when we release a feature like that, I'm like, dude, does this look like we're not working on big things? Is it, you know, because sometimes big apps that sit around for a long time and then they release a feature that's like, and they make a big deal out of releasing like what obviously took somebody like an hour. It's like, no, we like those type of releases, but we're working on big stuff too. Just wait.
I think people know we got all kinds of plates spinning. We got little plates and big plates.
So many plates.
They're all spinning.
Okay, folks, be good.
All right. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Six, zero, three, one, eight, six, zero.